Well, guys, I got to confess to you, I'm both a little sad and excited this morning because we are wrapping up the Jesus story. Anytime you calendar out half a year on a single series, you're putting a lot of weight in that series. And our hope in it was to kind of show you God's plan of redemption and how Jesus fulfilled that plan. I hope along the way we've done some of that, at least. This morning I want to let you know that you don't have to be sad because the story doesn't stop here. It actually continues all through the book of Acts, which happens to be our summer sermon series up there on the screen. Starting next week, we want to invite you to join us for Unstoppable, the Kingdom of God in the book of Acts, and we're going to study that all the way through the beginning of the school year. So, man, I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be good. This morning, we still got a little work to do here in this series as we wrap it up. And so if you have your Bibles, we're in Acts chapter 2. Also going to ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, it is okay. We have a digital version. Again, if that QR code, or if you already scanned it, it's there. And we do want you to take notes. We believe that we are changed, and our goal here is transformation. We believe we are changed most when we wrestle, when we struggle with the Word of God. We take notes. We go home. We talk about it with the people that we came to church with. That's why every week we give you guys discussion questions. And so, man, talk about those with the people that you came with. Talk about them. You know, work through them on your own, talk about them in small group, all those kind of things. Guys, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to jump in. We got a lot of ground to cover. I timed myself just reading the scripture. It was 4 minutes, okay? That's just the scripture. So we got a lot to do. Father, thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, want to step back every single week and ask you to come and take your place in our pulpit. Just declaring you're the teacher of the church, your own personal teacher and guide. This is why Jesus ascended into heaven. It was better that you came to live inside of us, to be our counselor, to be our guide, to be our teacher, to remind us of everything that he said. And so do that now. Help us understand the words of Jesus. Help us understand what's going on in the book of Acts and how it applies to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. So guys, here we are, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated, and they rested on each one of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Now, there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those who live in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Rome, Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring," they said, "we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues." So they're preaching the gospel, basically, in these other people's native languages. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But get this, but it says some sneered, and they said, "They're just drunk on wine." Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he proclaimed to them, "Fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and cloud and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God, though, has raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me, because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me or allow your Holy One to see decay. You have revealed the paths of life to me, and you will fill me with gladness in your presence. Brothers and sisters, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not abandoned in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay. God has raised this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended to the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. This is the word of the Lord. Whoo! So what does that mean for us? This Holy Spirit descending. What are we to learn from this event? I've got a few things for you, and man, I can only paint part of the picture, but I'm going to give you three things. Here's the first. I want you to know that Pentecost, it's what we call this event, Pentecost was further proof that God keeps his promises. Pentecost was further proof that God keeps his promises. Just think about the story that we have uncovered together here over the last half year, over the last 25 weeks, this journey along the way. We've seen it time and time again. All these promises we've discovered, both ones that Jesus has made and ones that he has come to fulfill, that God had made. Now, Jesus promised his followers. He told them that he was going to lay down his life for them. That's John 15:3. And guess what? He did. He promised that he would conquer death. That's Mark 9:31. He said, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of men. They'll kill him, but after he's killed, he will rise 3 days later, and he did. He promised that he would one day return to the Father from which he came. That's John 16:28. He says, I'm leaving the world, and I'm going to the Father, and he did. And he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, John 16:7, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth, it's for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come to you. If I go, I'm going to send him. And that's what's happening in our passage. He's keeping his word. He's sending the Spirit, just like he said he would. But of course, Jesus didn't just make promises. He also fulfilled them. Think of the promises of God that Jesus fulfilled that we've discovered along the way. We went way back into the Old Testament, didn't we? We talked about that day that sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and they were cast out of the garden. And on that day, death enters the world, separation enters the world. Our relationship with God is destroyed. But on that day, God made a promise he would send someone to fix it. A descendant of this woman would come and he would crush the head of the serpent and he would set all things right. Listen, he would reconcile us to God so that we could have a relationship with God again. And this event is it. This event, this is why it matters, right? Because it's happened, right? Because from that day in Genesis 3, relationship with God is broken. But today, in Acts chapter 2, as the Holy Spirit descends, now we have a relationship with God again, not just where we can be in his presence, but where he can live inside of us. Yeah. God keeps his promises. It's what this is. It's just further proof. And here's what it means. It just means like the resurrection means. It means that everything God says can be trusted. It means that Jesus is coming back. It means that heaven is coming to earth. It means that the enemy is going to be banished in chains. It means a day is coming where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more suffering, where there will be no more hurt or disease. Pentecost is just further proof that every promise of God is yes and amen. Okay? That's where we start. It's the first thing we see is we just see these promises of God unfolding. That big promise of reconciling to ourselves, reconciling us to himself, it's happened. Man, it's so good. So good. Second thing I want you to see is that Pentecost was proof that we indeed receive God's power to be his witnesses. Pentecost is proof that we indeed receive God's power to be his witnesses. We talked about this last week, that promise of Jesus, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we'll receive power to be his witnesses. And he says, like, listen, you're going to change the world, the whole world. And remember that you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And that promise, guess what? It happens from the jump, y'all. I mean, from the moment the Spirit descends, it's immediate. It happens right away, right then and there. Jews are gathered from all over the known world, right? So Rome is kind of the world leader at this point. Their empire stretches as far as you can imagine. So Jews are gathered here at Pentecost. Now you say, what is Pentecost? Now, Pentecost is one of three pilgrimage festivals for the Jews. It's where they all return to Jerusalem, okay? And listen, at Pentecost, what they're celebrating, they're celebrating the wheat harvest, and they are celebrating the giving of the law at Sinai. Okay? So just track with me. It is 50 days after Passover is when the festival is. Now, Jesus was there for 40 of those days. So for 40 of those days, Jesus is like, ha-ha, conquer death, come and see, touch the nails, touch the side, yep, it's me. Then he ascends into heaven before their very eyes, right? And he's like, hey, you're going to wait on the counselor, he's coming. So they wait about 10 days. They wait about 10 days. And the promise is when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive power to be my witnesses. From the jump, Jews from all over the known world are gathered. And guess what? The Roman world is so vast that each of these people have their own language, their own dialect, right? And so when they show up, immediately the Holy Spirit descends upon the 120 that were there waiting for the promise, and they all begin to testify, to proclaim the gospel in intelligible tongues. Not something like out there, like in the native languages of the people that are gathered. And they're like, how is this even possible? All these men are speaking with a Galilean accent, but they're speaking our language. And they're amazed, right? They're amazed. But there's another group there that sneers. They're mocking them. They're claiming that they're drunk. This isn't uncommon in the Bible or in church history, by the way. We've seen people mock the work of God throughout this series in church history. I would just say to you, rather than engage honestly with the power of God, many people will choose to mock and dismiss what they can't explain. It'll happen in your life. It's happened throughout history. When people can't understand the movement of God, they'll often try to reduce it to something natural or even foolish, try to make fun of it. But listen, Peter stands up. Peter, you know Peter, right? I mean, Peter, the passionate one, not Peter. I mean, Peter, the one that says, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. That Peter stands up. Peter, the one that said, Jesus, I love you more than all of these, and I'll never leave you. That Peter that denied him three times, that Peter stands up. That Peter, the one that Jesus personally restored, who reminded him three times, just like Peter had denied him, asked him three times, do you love me? Two of those times he uses the word agape. Peter, are you committed to me? Peter responds, I phileo you, I'm passionate about you. So Jesus is like, okay, fine, are you passionate about me? He says, yes, I'm passionate about you, Lord, you know it. So he says, okay, go feed my sheep. That Peter, now full of the Holy Spirit. That Peter who has not written a sermon, right, who didn't practice anything, that Peter, now full of the Holy Spirit, stands up and suddenly starts quoting Joel, right? Starts quoting King David from Psalm 16. That Peter, now full of the Holy Spirit, begins preaching, boldly telling the crowds that they're responsible for killing Jesus. That's verse 23, right? You use lawless people to nail him to the cross. But that he, Lord and Messiah, here's boldness. It's verse 30, the apostle. Verse 38, each one. You'll are three with me. 100. And the Spirit descends. They all begin testifying. Proclaiming the God, the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses. They all began to witness about this Jesus in intelligible native tongue. Like it's crazy. Some people are like, no, they're just drunk. Peter stands up, preaches, the Holy Spirit convicts, and the church is born. They go from 120 people to 3,120 people in one day. Whew. Now listen, I need all eyes up here for a second, not looking at your notes, not looking around. This matters. That same power lives inside of us. Can I say that again? That same Holy Spirit power lives inside of you. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell God short. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be a witness for God. And you may have convinced yourself time and time and time again, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. I'm a what? You're more of a mess than every man, Peter? I don't know about you, but I think about Peter. I'm like, that dude's me, right? I mean, because some days I am passionate for the Lord and I'm hot and I'm like, let's go. And other days I am face first in the dirt. Dang it, I did it again. Peter shows us this power is for all of us. God can use us. He will use us. God equips us for the mission he's given us. We just have to trust him, right? So Pentecost is proof of that. Third thing, I want you to see that Pentecost was proof that God wants all people to be saved. Pentecost is proof that God wants all people to be saved. Listen, if you didn't catch it in the commission that Jesus gave after his resurrection, it's there, by the way, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of, what's it say? All nations. Not just your nation, not just your people, not just the people that look like you. All nations, this is God's plan, right? If you didn't catch it there, maybe you caught it in his promise in Acts 1:8. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you didn't catch it in those two, then I pray you caught it in verse 5. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. I want you to see what God has done. See, this is not an accident. God has ordained the time. He's ordained the day. This is part of his plan. So listen, they are gathered from every nation under heaven so they might hear the gospel proclaimed in their own language. And 3,000 are saved in that one day. Y'all, this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God, that every nation, every tribe, every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord, that all would be reconciled to him. It's what Jesus talked about with Nicodemus that night in the darkness, John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world, right? He says, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's what he talked about with that woman at the well in John chapter 4. When he says to her, listen, like, y'all have to understand the crazy cross-cultural nature of the gospel. Jews hated Samaritans. A Jewish man would never speak to a Samaritan woman, especially. And he says, listen, woman, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. God is saying, I'm calling my children from every nation, from every tribe, from every boundary. This is the kingdom. And it's open for all who believe. Peter gets it eventually, by the way. In his second epistle, he writes, the Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but he's patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Pentecost is proof that God loves all people, that he wants to reconcile all people to himself, right? So as we wrap up our series, what do we do with that? What should that stir in us? A few things, I hope. The first thing I pray it stirs in you is this desire to trust God and his promises. Man, you need to trust him. Even when you don't feel like God is there, you have to trust the promise that he never leaves you or forsakes you. Amen? Tell me, I ain't feeling it today, Lord. And I think if you're quiet enough, you might hear a whisper, darling, you don't have to feel it. Doesn't mean I'm not here. God's word is true all of the time. If God promises he will not leave us or forsake us, it's not that he has gone anywhere, he's with us. It's probably that our heart has strayed. It's probably that we've got some sin we haven't confessed. It's probably that we're not reading his word and hearing from him. It's probably that my prayers are self-centered, not kingdom-focused. There's probably something behind it. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So I have to trust God and his promises. I have to trust that Jesus is coming back. I have to trust that heaven will be on earth, that the enemy is going to be bound, right? That there's going to be no more hurt, no more dying, no more sin. It's coming. Every promise of God is true. It's yes and amen, I'm telling you. One of those promises that some of you may need to trust is this truth, is that God will make you his own. Yes, you. And I get it. You're thinking, no, not me. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. I bet I could figure it out. I bet it looks pretty close to what we've done, right? Just different levels. Our world like tries to, no, man, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is what the gospel says. And yet, God wants you. God longs to have a relationship with you. This is why Jesus died. It's why ascended into heaven, so that the Spirit could come, and that if you put your faith in Jesus, you could be born of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God would fill you, would make you the home of God, the tabernacle of God, the temple of God. That's what that means. It means God's dwelling place, God with us. This is the gospel. And God wants to do that with you. And if you're here today and you'd like to do that, in a moment we'll have an opportunity. But beforehand, if you know you're not a Christian, I'm just going to put this on the screen, but you want to talk to somebody about it, you're like, I'm interested in that, Pastor, what it would be like to become a child of God, you can just text the word Jesus to this number. We will follow up with you. You're just interested, like, man, I don't even know what that's about. You could text the word Jesus to 512-777-0137, and somebody will follow up with you this week, I promise, okay? Second thing I believe this text calls us to do is to have God's heart for people. To have God's heart for people. So let's do a little exercise. You guys up for an exercise? All right? Adults, everybody have some caffeine this morning? All right, we're doing okay. I'm worried when I do this exercise, I'm going to lose some of you, so I need to make sure you had a little caffeine. I'm not saying you've had enough caffeine. I'm saying you've had a little caffeine. You've got enough. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to close your eyes, but just for a moment, don't you? I know it's cold in here. Don't you go nodding off on me. All right, here's what I want. Close your eyes for a moment. I want you to think about your neighbor, the neighbor to your left, right? If you can do this with your eyes open, that's cool. Who lives to the left of you? What are their names? I want you to picture their faces. Okay, cool. Now, think about the people that live to the right of you. Who lives to the right of you? Names, faces, all right? Got them. Cool. All right. Who lives across the street from you, right across the street? Who is that? What is their name? What is their face? Okay? All right. Now, you can do catty corner left, catty corner. I don't care. Okay. Eyes up here. Wake up. All right. Here we go. I saw you nodding. I saw it. Listen. God loves your neighbor. He loves your neighbor. Let me ask you a question. What if he has planted you there so that you can love your neighbor like he loves your neighbor? You follow me? What if you are meant to be that light in their life? We have to love people the way that God loves people. Okay. All right. Let's do it again. Don't nod off on me. All right, this one's going to be quick. I'm just going to give you one person. Don't go off on a whole rant. Close your eyes for a second. I want you to think of a person that you are having problems with right now. I mean, you are butting heads with. I mean, they are on your last nerve. I mean, like, oh, gosh, this person's driving me crazy right now. Come on, think of them. Get a picture in your head. All right, all eyes up here. It just can be one, okay? You don't go naming 20. If it's 20, you're the problem, okay? Love you. Look, you need to go look in the mirror. That's the problem. All right, one person. Listen to me. God loves your enemies. Those people that you would be like, man, they're opposed to me right now. I feel like they're coming against me. God loves even them. When's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you prayed that God would bless them? What? Pray that God would bless that dumb son. Yeah. When is the last time you prayed God would bless them? God loves your neighbor. He loves your enemy. Jesus died for your neighbor. He died for your enemy. He died for every nation, for every tribe, for every tongue, that they might all come to know him. Do you share that heart? Because if you don't, you need to. Okay? Last thing. By the way, write this down under that second thing. I want to challenge you to love the lost and pray for them. Sorry. Love the lost and pray for them. So I don't know how you figure that out, make that happen every day. Put it somewhere it reminds you. Maybe when you open your Bible, put a little bookmark in there. Pray for the lost every day. Every day. God, give me your heart for people. Okay? Last thing. I want to challenge you to pray for opportunities to be a witness and to trust the Holy Spirit's power when those opportunities arrive. Okay? I want you to pray for opportunities to be a witness, and then I want you to trust the Holy Spirit's power when those opportunities arrive. And I'm going to ask you to physically do something today. Okay, if you have a phone that will allow you to set a reminder, I want you to pull that phone out right now. Let's do it together. Okay, this is not hard. All right, I want you to go to remind, if it's an iPhone, mine is under the productivity tab, okay? That's where mine is. Go to reminders. And you hit the little blue button, and you're going to set a new reminder, okay? A reminder. Set a reminder. And then I want you to repeat that reminder daily, and I want it to be at the start of your day, not the end, okay? So what's a good time before you get out the door? Like, it needs to be a time that you can glance at this before you get busy. You guys following me? Okay, so if you're a student and you're like, hey, we leave for school at 7:30. Okay, then this sucker needs to hit at 7. Adults, if you're like, I have to start yelling at my kids at 6 to get them out of bed, then you need to do it before you start yelling at them, right? So you set at 5:50. I don't care. Set a reminder. Make it daily. And the reminder literally is pray for opportunities to be a witness today. Pray for opportunities. Okay, so we call these divine appointments, by the way. Lord, put people in my path today that need to hear about you. Every day. If you pray for it every day, God is going to start giving you opportunities. Now, I love you. You will blow some of the first opportunities. You're going to miss them entirely. It will happen afterwards. You'll leave the conversation and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that was it. That was it. Okay, forgive yourself. It's okay. You're going to get it figured out, but you're probably going to blow the first few, okay? It's okay. But then you'll start to see these opportunities, and you just be a witness. Trust the Holy Spirit. You have something to say. If you're following Jesus, you have something to say to somebody else that will point them towards the Lord, okay? You got it? Cool. Cool. All right. Here's what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to pray for you, and then we are going to commission you to get out of here and to go be a light in the world. Don't freak out this time. We kind of dim the lights. That is for your benefit, actually, because we want to ask every week. We want to ask a question. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. D.L. Moody used to preach about Jesus and invite people to put their faith in him. One night he was preaching in Chicago, and he decided for some reason, I'm not going to have an opportunity for people to receive Jesus tonight. I'm going to have them come back, and I'm going to do that tomorrow night. That night, the Chicago fires broke out, and a lot of people lost their lives. And he said, that'll never happen again. So I just kind of have this conviction. If we gather, that we need to have an opportunity. If somebody is here, that today, for the first time, you heard that God wants to have a relationship with you. Guys, that's what Pentecost is all about. It's about God wanting to live inside of you, to make you his own. And maybe you felt, man, I'm not good enough for that. But today I'm telling you, you are good enough, because God sent his very best for you. Jesus came and lived the life that you couldn't. He died the death that you deserve. God wants a relationship with you. Jesus is proof. So here's what we're going to do. If everybody would just bow their head and close their eyes for a second. I just want to ask this. If you're here today and you are not sure if you're a Christian, here's what I mean by that. I mean that you have grown up and you might have even, you've been in church before. You've tried to make yourself better, but you still feel like there's this thing missing inside of you. You've been trying not to let anybody else see it. But today, you're sensing right now, even as I speak, like the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, he's trying to get your attention. If you're here today and you would like to have a personal relationship with God, you would love it if the God of the universe would come and live inside of you and take control and teach you what it means to follow him. If that's you, just every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand, be brave for me real quick and say, yeah, Pastor, I need that. Anybody this morning would just raise their hand and say, man, I need a relationship with God. Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Anybody else? Give me a second to just scan the room. Anybody just say, man, that's me. Yeah, I see some of my little ones, mamas and daddies. We'll pay attention to those. Right? I see you over here, sister. Yeah. So those of you that just raise your hand real quick, if you could look at me, I see you. Okay? I see you, brother. So here's how we would do that, how we enter into relationship with God. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is indeed Lord, he's everything we spoke of, and we'll believe in our heart that God really raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. Okay? That literally, we're just going to say, Jesus, I believe you came and you died for me. I believe that you want to make me your own. We do this through prayer, but we don't want you to feel alone. See, we've got this twofold thing here. One, we don't want you to feel alone. And two, as a church, we feel that we're supposed to be raising up people to go out and to share with their neighbors and their coworkers. And I always want to make sure that you have, my people have the ability, they know how to lead somebody to Christ. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray with you out loud. So those of you that raise your hand, maybe you didn't, but man, you want a relationship with God too. And so just pray with me. Let's pray together. Let's pray out loud, church. Dear God, I come to you right now. God, I just want to confess. I need you. My life is a mess. I can't do it. I've sinned so often in so many ways, and I can't fix it. That guilt never goes away. But Jesus, today I heard that you love me, that you lived for me, that you died for me, and that you want to live in me. So the best way I know how, I want to receive your forgiveness today. Come into my life and take control. Make me a child of God and teach me how to live for you for the rest of my days. Amen.